Good morning, church. Thank you guys for being here. My name is Zach, and I have the privilege to lead this family of faithful, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ. Jacob, Chris, there you go. It's not a competition. Never. I'm not a competitive person. I am thrilled to be with you today, and some of the things Jacob was talking about, I absolutely echo. Thank you for your generosity, your faith-filled gifts that have been blessing so many. Actually, we're going to tell you next week about a hurricane relief trip we're doing December 30th to January 4th. So we're hoping a lot more of you can join with us on this trip next week. And so we're continuing to use those dollars that have started these ministries and done these things. And we hope you'll be a part of that. God's doing great things. But I'm excited today to share with you what I believe God has put on my heart and what I believe that you're going to be excited about, because this is your church and your vision as well. It's a 5-year vision that I'm calling 2023 vision. If some of you are like, how do you come up with that name, 2023? It's just math. 2023 minus 2018 is 5. So anyway, it's a brilliant name. I know you're really proud of me already. But Helen Keller once said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. We need a vision to wrap ourselves around. And that's exactly what this Sunday and next are all about. Today, I want to talk to you and answer the question, what are we doing? And rather, what is God doing through us? And then next week, we'll look at the question, so how do I fit and how do you fit into that? So today it's what are we, what is God doing? And next week is how do we, how do I, how do you fit into that vision? So it was my task to kind of come up with a vision that matches our mission statement. I want our vision to be a faith-filled, big-thinking vision. I want our vision to be a vision that can't be achieved unless God himself intervenes. My staff loves it when I, on their job descriptions, I put only possible if God supernaturally intervenes. And that's what I want this vision to be. I don't want this to be a man-made vision. I don't want this to be a vision about me or you or us. I want this to be a vision about God himself and magnifying his name. And I want to jump right into it because on the strengths finders, futuristic is my top strength. But actually, before I get to it, I want to spend a little bit, just a few minutes celebrating what God has done in our short history, because that, I think, gives us a reason to feel confident in the future that we have here at the Cross. In just over 7 years of worshiping together, about 8 years total, God has brought our church from my family to a small group of families, to a house church, to a church plant, to a small church, to a medium church, to a large church, to a church meeting in multiple locations. With now more than 850 on a weekend, this past Easter, more than 1,400. We have grown and changed a lot in a short period of time. Right? That's nuts. And in every single stage, whether it's church plant or small church or large church or meeting in multiple locations, that requires a different type of church, a different type of pastoral leadership, a different type of dream team, a different type of faith-filled, big-thinking family along the way. And I want you to know, change is not always easy. And we've had like 8 changes in 7 years. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your patience and grace as we've taken what God's given to us and tried to maneuver and find the best ways in that to continue to glorify Jesus Christ. It's not always easy to change. And there have been so many of you who have been faithful, some of you all the way from the beginning, some of you for years. And as your pastor, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for supporting this church, my family, me. It means the world to me. And I'm so excited about what God's going to do with us in the future. Not just has God grown our worship attendance, but he's grown up leaders in our congregation. It was actually before we were even worshiping together that a woman from our church family had the idea to start a food pantry in Mount Dora called Lake Cares. And this year, Lake Cares Food Pantry will serve almost 40,000 individuals. How amazing is that? It's sad that that many individuals are in need, but what an amazing thing that we have a ministry that came up out of our church that helps and feeds so many. Not just that, but we sent people and dollars from our church to start a nonprofit that we call Hand in Hand. And now Hand in Hand has two men's recovery homes and a woman's recovery home. And we're excited to partner and to send this nonprofit off on its own. And it's amazing to see men and women return back as productive citizens that are clean and sober. That's pretty awesome. And that started from our church. You can clap for that. Most churches only ever make international or national headline news for awful things. Our church managed to make international news twice for, I think, some pretty awesome things. In 2014, we paid for tattoos of a church logo. That story went crazy and was not anything I expected. And we broke a Guinness World Record for the longest speech. The entire 6,000, 3 hours and 18 minutes. That's pretty cool. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Over the past 5 years, we are number one and fastest growing in our entire denomination. God is on the move here. In addition, God is expanding, I think, our church's platform and reach through the book I wrote called Red Letter Challenge to now have impact with pastors and leaders all across the country. In its first 10 months, being a self-published book, it's reached more than 11,000 people have finished the challenge, and more than 50 congregations in some way, shape, or form have taken on the Red Letter Challenge. Not bad for a 7-year-old church, right? I mean, I've got a 7-year-old boy, and a lot of times I'm thinking, wait, he's 7, we're 7, like, I don't know, it just doesn't always match, you know? It feels like we've done some things, and I'm looking at my 7-year-old like, when are you going to contribute? You know? When? I'm waiting for it. That's why we have kids, so that you make contributions around the house and mow the lawn, and I got to pay somebody else to mow the lawn, because you're not old. But anyway, that's between me and my 7-year-old. But I say all of this, and I wanted to spend at least a few minutes remembering and celebrating what God has done. To point out our unique history. It's unlike any other church. You won't find a church biography and history like ours anywhere in the world. And I want you to know that was not by my design and my great vision. I didn't come out of seminary thinking, I know how to build a church. We'll pay for tattoos, break world records, open up food pantries and recovery homes. That's what we'll do. We'll do it in the first 7 years. This just came. And God has been so faithful through everything. And I know that because he's been faithful through it all so far, he'll continue to be faithful. And what I'm most proud of, I talked a lot there about numbers and data. And that's important because every number represents a life, which represents a story, which represents a son or daughter of Jesus. Let's not lose sight of how important numbers are. But I'm even more excited at the people God is using. And God is giving to this congregation, from a dedicated, hungry, passionate staff to an incredible servant heart leader dream team to the amazing faith-filled, big-thinking family that we have. I believe God's poised our church to really make an impact in this world over the next 5 years. And I thank God for all that he's done up to this point. But with the opening of the Apopka campus about 7 weeks ago, and I was there this morning already preaching over there, and it's a fun church. You guys ought to go there sometime if you haven't been. It is such a beautiful venue, such an amazing dream team, and so cool to see what God is doing there. But that was sort of the last piece of the plant and build vision we had 3 years ago. And so a few months ago, I was like, oh man, we need a new vision. We need to know where we're going. And so for the last few months, I've been praying, I've been thinking, I've been talking, I've been asking for feedback, I've been getting insight, and I feel like I'm ready to tell you what the 5-year vision is. Are you ready to hear it?
Yeah.
I want you to know our mission statement's not changing. We are a family of faith-filled, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ. That is who we are. It's who God has made us to be. But over the next 5 years, what is God specifically calling us to do? That's what I want to tell you. And this is where I believe God has settled on a pretty awesome vision for us. So the next 5 years, here's what we're going to do. We're going to magnify Jesus by mobilizing effective disciples and multiplying the church.
Yeah.
That's it. See ya. Okay. Some of you want me to preach it a little bit because you're like, I don't know about that yet. So let me talk to you a little bit about this phrase right here. First two words are the most important words. Magnify Jesus. I wanted to start this statement with the why. It's why you exist. It's why I exist. It's why this church exists. The sole purpose for a church and for an individual in this world is to magnify Jesus Christ. That is what we are called to do in this world. Human beings were made different. God made us different from the start. He made us in His own image. He created us. That's what Genesis 1:27 says. God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created us, male and female. He created us. John Piper writes, the point of being created in the image of God is that human beings are destined to display God. That's what images do. And the point of being redeemed by Jesus and renewed after the image of our Creator is to recover this destiny. We were created to show this world how precious and deeply satisfying our God Jesus is. And there's two kinds of magnifying. There's microscopes and there's telescopes. The one makes a small thing look big, and the one makes a big thing begin to look as big as it really is. Piper says that we are not called to be microscopes, we are called to be telescopes. Christians are not called to be con men who magnify their product out of all proportion to reality when they know the competitor's product is far superior. There is nothing and nobody superior to God. So I love the way he says this. The calling of those who love God is to make His greatness begin to look as great as it really is. Come on, that's good. That's what we're here to do. We're here to make God look as great as He really is. God is so great. He's so great to you. He's so great to me after all that He's done, that all I want to do in this world is simply magnify. I want to be a telescope. I want this church to be a telescope for Jesus, to show and begin to show the world just an inkling of how great our God really is. That is why we exist. We're here to magnify Jesus. And the only way you're going to magnify Him greatly is if Jesus greatly resides in you. So we have to ask the question, how are we doing it magnifying Jesus? As individuals and as a church, and by and large, I know there's some individual examples, and I believe even our church is an example of you can do it right, but by and large, 30,000 foot view, we're not doing well. More people today are walking away from not just church, but their faith. Many of us believe that the Christianity is losing its influence in our nation. Depending on what survey you look at, the number of nuns, not Catholic, but N-O-N-E-S, the ones that would identify as none, which means atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, is somewhere between 23 and 34% now, but no matter what survey you look at, rising quickly. We cannot sit idly by and just let that happen and let more and more people, after we know how great God is, continue to move on in life without Jesus Christ. We won't do that. The problem, I don't think, though, is that human beings don't know how to magnify. I think we're great at magnifying. We're great at showing and displaying. That's what social media shows me, right? Facebook and Instagram are all about displaying greatness. It's what we do. We put our highlight reels on there. We put our perfect picture, our perfect outfit, our perfect meal, our perfect vacation, our perfect picture at the ball game with the family to display and magnify how great and perfect everything is in our life. What we don't do is we don't magnify the fight you had in the car on the way to the restaurant to get the perfect meal, right? And you don't magnify how you had to bribe your kids with Dippin' Dots in order to get them to smile in the perfect ballgame picture, which you thought would be fun for them, but actually is miserable for you. Have you been there? That was my experience with my kids. I always thought, man, it's a dream of mine as a kid to be at a ball game. My kids, apparently, they just want to eat Dippin' Dots. And when they watch the game, they're bored. So the problem is not that we don't know how to magnify. The problem is that in our world, we tend to magnify our own name. We tend to get askew and tempted by the world and fall into the world's temptations. And pretty soon it becomes more about us. I wonder if someone were to look into your life, into your social media feeds and into your credit card statements and the places that may be intrusive to you. I wonder if they'd be able to tell that God greatly resides in you. I wonder if Jesus would be magnified by the way you're living your life right now. That's what we exist for as individuals, but also as a church. We are not here to make the name of the cross great or anyone in this church great. We are here to make the name of Jesus Christ great. Because we believe He is a great God. And we believe that great God is one day coming back for each and every one of us. And when he comes back, can you picture and see the day when you will meet Jesus face to face? Philippians 2 says it this way, that one day God will exalt Jesus to the highest place and magnify, give him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Christ Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen. And all that I do right now points to that very day. That more people, because I want that day to be as great for God as God's been as great to me. And what's going to make that day even greater for God is more and more of his lost sons and daughters magnifying him on their knees, confessing that Jesus Christ not only is my Lord, but he was my Lord when I lived in this world in the short time that God gave to me. Magnify Jesus. How do we magnify Jesus? I believe from Scripture, we magnify Jesus best when we mobilize effective disciples and we multiply the church. You say, Zach, how do you come up with that? Well, I think that nothing magnifies God more than effective disciples being mobilized. And I don't think anything mobilizes disciples effectively greater than multiplying the church. These are both God-ordained, instituted ideas. God was the one that made disciples. And I think for us to make Christianity irresistible again, we need to go back and look at the movement that Jesus started 2,000 years ago when he gathered a small group of disciples around him and poured heavily into them. And as he was pouring into them, he left those disciples, which I believe we as his disciples today are left with these very words. Jesus came to us and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore now, go and make disciples, mobilize of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Maybe the best thing that we can do to magnify the name of Jesus is to actually go back and look at what Jesus did and look at what he instituted and look at how he poured into his disciples and look at the heart that he had for them and look at how he sent them. And we see how he sent them. The Bible documents this. Though they would struggle a lot, these disciples would be incredibly effective at getting the word out, at making and mobilizing even more disciples, at multiplying the church wherever God called them to go, no matter the cost that it was to them. What if that's the answer for us again? Because there's never been a time where effective disciples have more been needed than right now. There's never been a time where there's been more information on what a disciple looks like. There's never been a time where there's been more confusion on what a disciple should actually look like. Somewhere in this, we need a very clear picture of what it means to be an effective follower of Jesus. Because effective disciples are needed as people are walking away from church, and not just church, but especially faith. Morals, values, and beliefs are going by the wayside and threatened everywhere that we look. And rather than being known for and magnifying what Jesus is known for, grace, unity, love, compassion, and kindness, instead, we are known for and magnify hypocrisy, judgment, bigotry, and being plain old-fashioned boring. That's got to change. We cannot sit down and just sit idly by and let that be the picture of Jesus that we magnify.
Amen.
Bigger buildings and better programs are not needed. What's needed is a clearer expression of who Jesus is, for people just to get a glimpse of how great he really is.
Amen.
That's what's needed.
Yes.
I will. The world needs a fresh expression, and I believe the cross is poised to do just that. I believe that by looking at the words of Jesus and identifying what was most important to Jesus, we have the best answer in the world when it comes to following him. It's not because we're smart, it's because Jesus told us to do this. Luke 11:28, Jesus' words, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it." And so over the next 5 years, church, I'm going to be dogged. We're going to be dogged about making and mobilizing effective disciples. We want everyone in this church to grow spiritually. We don't want you to stay the same. We'll take you as you are, but we don't want you to leave as you came.
Amen.
each one of us, if we're really in a relationship with Jesus, if grace has really gripped you and taken over your life, then there's a maturing of your faith that happens. But many of us, we don't know what to shoot for and we don't know what to do. There's not a clear picture. And that's where I believe that by looking at what Jesus said and by looking at what Jesus commanded and the things that we've talked about over the last 5 weeks, our five core values, I really believe are the answer to how we can be effective. You remember those five values are?
Yes.
Being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. These are not just random words for us. As we looked at all that Jesus said, these were the ideas and the principles and the values and the targets that came up most with what he asked his disciples to do. And so as we adhere to and grow in these areas, I believe we will spiritually grow and spiritually mature. And so we're going to be putting these values into practice at this church. This church is going to relentlessly pursue and measure spiritual growth of our members. We're looking at ways right now that we can measure people according to these five values. And we're speaking of our five-year vision today, which means by end of 2023. But one of the first things that I hope we do in this five-year vision is actually come up with a way to measure people's spiritual growth according to these values. Say, Zach, it's impossible to measure people's spiritual growth. Maybe it's not. Maybe if we look at what's most important to Jesus and actually have some sort of online assessment, maybe there's a paper copy as well, and give that away for free, maybe we're able to take a look at how we're doing according to at least what Jesus asked of us, which I think is the most important. And wouldn't it be cool to take this assessment and then realize at the end of this, I'm strong over here and I'm weak over here. Maybe I get an overall score and maybe I get a battle plan that tells me the next steps of how I can improve in my walk with Jesus Christ, because I want to improve in my walk with Jesus Christ because God made me in this world to magnify his name. And to magnify his name, I got to be growing and maturing and becoming closer to who Jesus Christ is. What a cool thing that would be. We're actually in talks right now with some of the greatest research and survey companies in our world on what this assessment could look like. So we're talking with Lifeway Research and Gallup and Barna, hoping that we team up with one of these partners so that we can really make an incredible online assessment to measure people's spiritual growth when it comes to the things that were most important to Jesus. And we'll be able to use this tool so to know how effective we are as growing up in the faith and adults. And one of the great things about this is not only will we be able to use this, we'll be able to give this tool away to other churches so we can help them mobilize effective disciples in their area as well. And I hope over the next 5 years, God gives our little C church a greater heart for the capital C church. Because I believe that some of the stuff we're talking about, the rest of the church world needs to hear this. The rest of the church world needs to know that the way to make and mobilize effective disciples, yeah, there's some cool new strategies and some really awesome new books out there. But the greatest way is actually just to go back to what Jesus said and do that. The world needs to hear that. In addition to that assessment, we're going to hopefully, again, for the sake of the capital C church, not just us, look to create curriculums that other churches can use. I've seen in the short history of Red Letter Challenge, churches are starving for greater discipleship content, and we can provide that. And so we're going to be doing that already in January of 2019. Red Letter Challenge is going to be featured on Right Now Media, which I think is the number one online Christian media site in the world, which is pretty, or at least in our country, which is pretty cool. So you'll see Red Letter Challenge right next to Tim Tebow's Bible study, whatever he's come out with latest, and right next to Francis Chan, whatever he's come out with latest. I think that's pretty cool that we'll be able to impact the world. I'm hoping next month to get commitments from four or five major league soccer teams that say we want to do something to mobilize our disciples on the soccer teams, and we want to use the Red Letter Challenge, and we want to go through it next May, and if it goes well, we want to invite all the soccer teams and the rest of the league to join us. Can you imagine a full league of major league soccer teams all going through the Red Letter Challenge? How cool is that? And I'm thinking, God, well, that's great, but I don't really like soccer. It'd be better if it was football. But you got to start somewhere. And one day, I'll be able to eventually pray with Baker Mayfield before the Super Bowl. But anyway, that's sort of my own personal vision, not necessarily yours.
If you change your teams.
I rebuke that. In the name of Jesus. If you don't like this vision, by the way, you can go somewhere else. If you don't want to grow in Jesus, that's your own thing. By the way, this church started with a real passion to reach young families. And so I'm excited about growing and maturing adults into even more mature followers. But I want to invest over the next 5 years into heavily growing our children as well, our kids, so that someone is born here and starts, maybe not here at the church, but you know what I mean, and here around, and they start coming to church as a baby. All the way through college, we've got different programs and different teachings and curriculums that we're not only teaching them here, but we're teaching the parents how to have online devotions at home with their children, how to pray with their children, what would it look like to introduce these five values to kids at the appropriate time, and what would it look like to have key memory verses for each child by a certain time. And we'll celebrate things still like baptisms and confirmation and early first communion, but what would it look like as well to create some things around the age of puberty, of talking with kids about what's happening in your body and what that looks like, and around the age of purity, what it looks like to be a pure follower of Jesus in spite of everything that's going to come crashing down, and before college, what it looks like to prepare them so that when they leave, they know a proper definition of woman in Christ and what a man in Christ is in this world. I'm excited about that. I think we'll unleash faith-filled, big-thinking college students and kids all over the world. They'll take what they've learned here and they'll do incredible things far beyond we can ask or imagine. So I'm really excited about mobilizing effective, that's the word there, effective disciples for the sake of Jesus. And I don't think that anything mobilizes effective disciples more and greater than when we multiply God's church. Jesus Christ came and he brought disciples and he gathered these disciples around. And one time when these disciples were sitting around, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are Christ." And Jesus said to Peter, "You are right, Peter." And it's on that confession, Peter, that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus said, "I will build my church." This is his church, his idea. He instituted it as the best way to organize effective disciples. And Jesus loves this church. You know that the Word of God talks to the church is the body of Christ, that we are his hands and feet. We are the expression. We are the magnification of Jesus Christ in this world. Jesus so loves the church that he said when he comes back, it's going to be like a marriage feast where he'll be the groom and the church, his first love, will be the bride. That's how much he loves the church. And so we can't give up on the church. But the problem is that people are leaving the church. People are leaving the faith. So why is that? It's not for a lack of churches in our country. That's not the problem. And the problem isn't the God that we serve. The problem is what local churches are producing and what we're magnifying. Local churches aren't magnifying the name of Jesus. They're not mobilizing effective disciples. I'm not saying that there aren't some around that are doing that, but I'm saying by and large, looking at it from a 30,000 foot view, it is not happening. And we cannot let the church go down. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why does it feel like it is, though? Why does it feel like we're losing overall? It's not meant to be that way. Not with the promise of God, Jesus, that says that it won't prevail. And not with the Holy Spirit residing in each and every person that resides in the church that has a real relationship with Jesus. We're not going to sit idly by. Both in number and reputation, it's declining. And we are that faith-filled, big-thinking family that I think can impact this world in a really great way. When the church gets it right, that's what I want to see. When the church gets it right and when mobilized, effective disciples are being sent, more and more of us are growing and maturing in our faith. And coming closer to Christ and magnifying how great Jesus really is. When the church mobilizes effective disciples, grace abounds and people find the freedom that they were always looking for. When the church mobilizes effective disciples, food pantries and recovery homes spring up in the communities to help those in need. When the church gets it right, philanthropy flourishes and the cities prosper. When the church gets it right, effective disciples are mobilized and sent out and more people are reached for the kingdom of God, so that on that day when we come face to face with Jesus Christ, we know that we will have magnified his name and there are more sons and daughters of his sitting around there praising the name of Jesus when the church gets it right. That's why we're here, is to magnify Jesus and to go find his lost sons and daughters. And studies show that individually the best way to do that is still through word of mouth and through testimony. But studies show for a church at large, the best way to reach new Christians is actually to plant a church or open a campus. Both are extremely effective ways. And this church has said from the beginning that we will do whatever it takes, anything short of sin, to reach people for Jesus. And so if that is the most effective way in our country right now, we're going to be a part of that. And that's why we did the Cross Apopka, because that is who we are. It's not easy. It's painful sometimes. We have to change. We have to train, equip, and send. It's a hard work. But you know what? Jesus did some pretty hard work for us. And so we're going to do some hard work for him. And I absolutely love seeing a whole new church family being mobilized and sent to a new city to do great things over the coming years. And that's what I see for our vision. I see by the end of 2023 that we don't just have the Cross Mount Dora and the Cross Apopka, but we've got two other locations around where people can drive to and can experience some biblical preaching, grace-based preaching, modern worship. They can fall in love with our incredibly friendly, awesome dream team and our faith-filled, big-thinking church family, and they can be invited into a life characterized by the five values of being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. Yeah. How cool is that going to be when the cross expands even more? And I don't just see permanent campuses and locations where people can drive to, but we live in a time where technology is so incredible that we can have an online church platform. And I want to invest heavily into a great online church platform so that we can have as much reach online as we can in this world. You can actually have what's known as an online campus these days and actually have an online pastor. So you're not just worshiping an hour on a Sunday, but anytime during the week. But maybe there's set times with the online pastor where you log on and you get a greeting from the online pastor and you get to experience grace-based preaching and modern worship in the comfort of your own home. And that's really cool because we've seen there's some people that won't walk into a church building, but they will check something out online. And studies have shown that online campuses and in-house attendance, they actually help each other. They don't work against one another. And so I'm getting excited thinking about the reach we can have online. Do you know that every week when we meet, there's usually a couple hundred people that are watching on live stream or Facebook Live or later watch on demand. In fact, can we wave at them right now? Can we welcome all those that are streaming with us right now? Let's clap. They don't hear the wave. Bad idea, my fault. But imagine the reach we could have. Imagine somebody who is resistant to the faith, but because a family member has the cross worship on in the background, they're kind of going about their daily business, and they hear just one thing from the message that stirs in them something. So then the next week when that service is on again, they hear something else. And then over time, they get kind of broken down a little bit. And then they actually start tuning in and watching. And this God that they were once resistant and hesitant towards all of a sudden now has gripped them. And they realize that, yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Imagine this person giving their life over to Jesus Christ in that moment. Imagine this person not just joining us in our online family, but then connecting to a church family where he is, where he lives. Imagine that. That's the sort of things that are possible. And I'm here to tell you, that's already happened. We have that story. That man that was once resistant to Jesus Christ, that once heard something in a message, and then the next week came back a little bit more, and over weeks and weeks and weeks, and finally after a few months, just a few weeks ago, a man named Brandon Lutzo, who's the brother of Corey, brother-in-law of Michelle Lutzo, a couple people on our production team, gave his life over to Jesus Christ. Because our church has invested in something that we believe will reach people. And we'll do whatever it takes. We know God is powerful enough to work through a screen. And that person, Brandon, who would have never walked into a church, now streams with his mother every Sunday at 9 o'clock in a different state. And then you know what? He goes to church with his mom right after that, wherever he lives. Isn't that cool? I'm picturing with the online so much more. Not just can we have online services, but we can, through some great production, we can create some online resources and materials. So I'm picturing a college student that goes away and maybe has a hard time connecting with a church. Because it's hard, and those are faith formative years, and we can't just let them go on their own because many of them will never return back. So what if we were able to provide a solution that in those interim years, if you can't find something, here we are, and we'll help you, and we'll give you worship, and we'll give you a teaching. And then outside of that, our online pastor will get to connect with you and answer any questions you have, and he'll pray for you. And so much so that you start tuning in, and God starts working in you, and you start maturing in your faith as a college student, that now our online pastor connects with you and says, hey, you know you can actually lead a small group at your campus. You can do this at your campus, and I'll give you everything that you need for it. You got to keep studying. You got to keep doing that. I'll supply everything for you. You can lead a small group at your campus. Imagine the production level getting to a point where we can broadcast the cross anywhere. We can take it into prison systems where they need to hear the grace of God. We can take it into nursery homes where they can't always come into a physical location. We can take it overseas to the troops who need to hear a good word. We can do any of that if we get this done right. I'm here to tell you there is endless possibilities with what God is wanting to do. And so by the end of 2023, I envision 5 campuses for the cross. Mount Dora, Apopka, online is one of those, and 2 future locations, TBD, to be determined as God wills. I'm getting excited just thinking about all this up here. I don't know if you are or not, but I am. We want to magnify Jesus by mobilizing effective disciples and multiplying the church. That's the big vision. I hope you love it. Next week, if you're still not sure, that's a good vision for the church. But where do I fit in? I want to answer that for you next week. And so I hope you come back next week to hear how you can fit into this vision. But I want to end with a quote that I actually read to my small group of people that joined me at the very beginning, before this was ever even a worshiping community, when we were still dreaming, when we were still envisioning what God would do. It's a quote that my grandpa actually showed me before he passed away by a man named J.B. Phillips, who is a theologian that was studying the book of Acts, and he wrote this in response to Acts. He said, "It's impossible to spend several months in close study of the remarkable short book conventionally known as the Acts of the Apostles without being profoundly stirred and, to be honest, disturbed. The reader is stirred because he has seen Christianity, the real thing in action, for the first time in human history. The newborn church, as vulnerable as any human child, having neither money, influence, nor power in the ordinary sense, is setting forth joyfully and courageously to win the pagan world for God through Christ. The young church, like all young creatures, is appealing in its simplicity and single-heartedness. For here we are seeing the church in its first youth, valiant and unspoiled, a body of ordinary men and women joined in an unconquerable fellowship never before seen on this earth. Yet we cannot help feeling disturbed, as well as moved. For this surely is the church as it was meant to be. It is vigorous and flexible. For these are the days before it ever became fat and short of breath through prosperity or muscle-bound by over-organization. These men did not make acts of faith. They believed. They did not say their prayers. They really prayed. They did not hold conferences on psychosomatic medicine. They simply healed the sick. But if they were uncomplicated and naive by modern standards, we have ruefully to admit that they were open on the Godward side in a way that is almost unknown today. No one can read this book without being convinced there is someone here at work besides mere human beings. God is at work. And I want to say from the very beginning of this church, thank you for being open in a Godward way that is almost unknown to anyone today. Magnify Jesus by mobilizing effective disciples and multiplying the church. Magnify, mobilize, multiply. They all start with M, and they're all 3 syllables. I'm pretty proud of that. I don't know if you are, but I am. And it's what I believe God is calling us to do. You're not this tall, are you? You are? Stand up. Let's pray. Let's pray that we would see not just in our imaginations, but let's pray that we would see this vision that God has come to pass. God, we entrust this to you. God, it's not our vision, it's your vision. And anywhere, God, where it may be off, change us, Lord. We are simply open to the Godward side. We are open to you doing what, God, only you can do. God, I thank you for what you've done already in our short history. And I know that 5 years can seem like a long time, but it'll come quick. And God, I'm excited to see all that you're going to do here in Mount Dora, there in Apopka, online, and wherever, God, you send us, we will go. For we, Lord, want to magnify your name, for you are great and greatly to be praised. And with as great as you are, Lord, help us run and walk as great as we can for you, knowing the Holy Spirit is behind every single step that we take that is for you, Jesus. And I do pray, Lord, that all that we ask, think, or imagine, that you would do, God, immeasurably more. For you are a God that always does immeasurably more. God, thank you for your greatness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. God, you are the one that we praise. You are the one that we magnify. There's no one like you in this world, God. There is nothing that can satisfy. Lord, my cup will never run dry as long as I'm in you, Lord. If you believe that this morning, if you want to magnify the name of Jesus, come on, will you raise those hands in this place? And will you give your voice and lend everything that you have to the God that gave everything for you? Come on, let's